This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So off last night's game. So the Steelers, or yesterday afternoon, I should say, because we had to light the tree. Get the game over with. We got the tree. Everybody around the tree. We're going to light the tree. And by the way, they didn't light it till like 10. Two hours of just, I mean, the performances were pretty good. Don't want to knock that, but I mean, can we light the damn thing?
Yeah, can we just hit the
switch? Just light it? How about we light it first and then you sing songs? Like, can we do that? Well, anyways, so the Steelers went 19-14. A little backdoor on me because I was up 12. I had that game. I had money in hand.
Well, that's just not the 12 happy. That you had from when Williams was holding old boy leg for 25 seconds. Like, come on, man. Like, how can the refs not see that? Like, and if you're Gus Edwards, why aren't you shaking like you're having a damn seizure to get people up off you and kicking your feet? Like, let me the hell go so you can get the hell up. And you could have threw that pass, and then if it's incomplete or not, then you still would have had time to kick the field.
Kick, right. Yeah. That's fair the way that went down, no question. So, anyway, so Steelers now go to 11-0. They lose Dupree, which... You know, it's a big impact for them.
Big impact for us.
Now you tell me, explain that.
He was our target, man. He was one of our main targets.
When you say us, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Jets. He was one of the main targets. They can't pay Bud Dupree there. And the reason they can't pay Bud Dupree is because they had to pay T.J. Watt the next year. And T.J. Watt, so you can't have two guys that are making over $100 million rushing the passer because then they got to pay Micah Fitzpatrick. They got to decide they're going to pay Juju Smith-Schuster. So, like, he was ready and available. He understood that this was his last year. He was leaving. They were trying to get him on a lease just for 1 year. So, like, we just took a pass rusher that could potentially have been in the Jets thing and maybe create a huge question mark. So now you're down to Yannick or Judon, whichever one's going to be available. The Ravens are going to make available because they're going to pay one. So then you got Clowney, which we don't want. You have Shaq Griffin, Shaquille Barrett, but he's not a complete guy. He doesn't really do the run as well. So Yannick or Bud Dupree are the guys in their prime that you would have wanted to get that's young and stout and could, you know, be like the second level, not getting the highest money, because I think Yannick will get the most money. And then Judon and those guys, Yannick would set the market, and then the other guys would be slightly under that. So it was a bad day for us in both ways, unless you want to get them and say, we can get them and say, hey, we don't need you for a year anyway, because
then we're waiting for Mosley.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So we might as well. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mosley being
I don't know. But, yeah, it's ACL, so obviously he'll miss a big part of the next couple of months. And when he'll be available for next year, it certainly remains to be seen. But still, they're 11-0, and they're there. And Tomlin wasn't happy with their performance either. He said we look like a JV team out there with some of the mistakes they made. And yeah, they just got away with it because they played a team that didn't have most of their starters. RG3 at quarterback, and good to see him back out there, of course. But how about Dez Bryant with two targets and didn't have a catch?
Remember I said on Get Up, and I said, listen, man, the Ravens need to make a move for A.J. Green or Julio Jones. All these people during the trade deadline, Will Fuller, all these guys, jacked it up, right? And they Hollywood Brown is the guy you got to.
Can we call him Hollywood Brown? I mean, is Hollywood Brown really the right thing? Like, when you watch him play, what's Hollywood? Like, Hollywood Brown, like, he's like West Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, he's like the Golden Nugget strip. He ain't the main strip. He's like the Golden. He over there the whole strip.
Like, what's another, like, yeah, what would you, like, what would that be? Is it like,
where's that, Crenshaw?
Crenshaw Brown?
No. What's the one we came up with the other
El
day?
El Segundo Brown? Like, what would you do?
Yeah, I'll give him El Segundo. What was it, Rancho Cucamonga? Rancho Cucamonga Brown. That's what he is. Ain't no damn Hollywood. Ain't that Hollywood about you, man.
I don't know. But still, on the other side of things with this game, though, obviously no RG3. So Lamar Jackson is a story to me that is, this is going to become a big story.
It will.
Now, I want to ask Mike Tannenbaum about it. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. But I want to ask you, before we get to audio files, because I do think this is something that we have to discuss. The quarterbacks in the 2018 quarterback draft, there were five taken in the first round, and we were all excited about this draft.
Great draft class, right?
They are all now going to be, you know, but when you get to what, March is when, like, oh, now the extensions now, the fourth year, you can start giving them the extensions, right? Yep. We saw Mahomes get $45 million a year. He got a ton of money. He's going to get half a bill if it all plays out.
Deshaun
Watson getting almost $40 a year on his contract. Mm. So we're seeing what quarterbacks, like, all right, so there's the market.
Yeah.
So if I tell you, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, who we know, obviously, he's on a practice squad, so let's take him out of the equation, and Lamar Jackson, those are your first-round picks out of quarterbacks in the 2018 draft. Lamar Jackson was an MVP. But out of that group, who are you giving that kind of an extension to, like a 5-year, you know, 100-plus, you know, guarantee it up to 100.
100,
like,
200, who are you, 100, 200.
Whatever. I mean, who
5-year, 200 at $40 million.
Who are you giving that to after watching what's going on in Philly with Carson Wentz, where you're locked in with him for 2 more years? You could say all you want that you want to change the quarterback. What are you doing with him? So I'm looking at this group, and I'm wondering, there's one guy that I'm going to give an extension to that I'd be confident doing, and that's Josh Allen, but I'm not giving him the big, big money.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson was an MVP, Bart. Uh-huh. And that, to me, in Baltimore, and you're a guy with connections to Baltimore, is that a slam dunk that you are, well, he's an MVP, we got to put him in the category with Mahomes, we got to put him up in that stratosphere. Are you comfortable with giving him that kind and that level of extension?
I'm not. I'm not, simply because he needs help. Just like Josh Allen needs help, right? So Josh Allen needs help to look as good as he looks, right? You look at a guy like Joe Burrow, he's looking good with nothing, right? So that kind of – and listen, people could figure him out too. But Lamar Jackson needs help. And if you give him that money, you won't be able to afford to give him that help. He's going to continue to have Dez Bryant. He's going to continue to have the Hollywood Browns, when really what he needs is a DeAndre Hopkins. Really what he needs is DK Metcalf. Literally what he needs is a guy of that type of skill set.
Smith-Schuster, any of those guys would be free agents.
Or something. He needs that. You know what I mean? He needs a Galladay. He needs somebody that can, you know, take advantage of what his skill set is, because what his skill set is doesn't have great scheme versatility. So that means you can't come in and you're assuming that you're going to have the same type of offense. What if somebody else comes in and you decide to make a move at coach after a while, once the message gets stale? John Harbaugh has been there 11 years, and before Lamar Jackson got there, he was on the hot seat. They were thinking maybe it was time to make a change. And then Lamar Jackson came and they gave him an extension. Remember, he was going into the year as a lame duck coach. Mm-hmm. So you have to decide, like, if another coach comes in here, would Lamar Jackson be able to run their offense, or would they have to make an offense? Like, you know.
But isn't the other question with Lamar Jackson is has the league figured him out? Like, if 1 year he was unbelievable, it's hard to stop him. But has the league now, oh, okay, this is what we do, and he's not the same. He's not near, like, he is not as effective this year as he was last year. That's not a hot take. That's just obvious.
Yeah. Well, he lost a Hall of Fame guard, who was his big brother,
true,
who was a protection, who was the captain. That he lost his $100 million left tackle, so now he has his right tackle playing left tackle, so it's like a copy of a copy. And they didn't do a great job in getting him weapons outside the tight end position. Mark Andrews is the only person out of the skill position players that would even get a sniff at a Pro Bowl. He's the only one that would get it. So he requires a lot of assistance. So for that, he would always have to leave a little bit more money on the table so they can go out and pay his replacement, pay his skill position players to do that. You look at Rosen's not going to be there. You look at Baker Mayfield, like I said before, nobody does less with more than anybody I've ever seen in my life. He has literally two of everything. Two Pro Bowl caliber tight ends. Two Pro Bowl caliber receivers. Two Pro Bowl caliber, you know, all pro running backs. Two, like, he got the best right tackle in the game in Coughlin in free agency, and he got a top 5 pick at left tackle, and still he throws the ball 19 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would argue that the Browns has arguably the best roster, them and the Bucks, the best roster, like, as far as player for player, than any other team in the NFL. It's only the fact that, you know, that Baker holds them back. It's the fact that they haven't been able to perform at the level that just a top 10 or top. I mean, you put Dak Prescott on the Browns, and they're Super Bowl contenders.
I was going to ask you, if you traded Baker to the Lions for Stafford. Now, obviously, I'm just saying this is fantasy, right? But if you put Stafford on that team.
Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
Super Bowl.
Yeah. See, and again, this guy was the number one pick, and he should be due now for a big contract, and it's just not going to be there.
And it's
I don't know who you're confident giving the contract to.
But this is
you're
this
not.
Crazy
it's five guys taken in the first round.
This crazy thing.
Sam's going to get replaced by another quarterback, and he's only going into his fourth year.
And I'll love to talk to Tannenbaum about this, right?
When he comes, we'll get him on. He's coming on.
Because when you take the fact that Dak Prescott is going to be floating around out there. And listen, his injury isn't an ACL. It isn't an Achilles. It's a fracture. So those things heal a lot faster. So it's not like it's going to impede him like the rehab for Achilles would be or the rehab for ACL. So with him out there, would you rather give Dak Prescott, who's a relatively young quarterback, remember, he hit the market faster because he's only in his second year. So really, he's damn near about the same age as far as being in the league-wise as the other guys. Would you take Dak Prescott and give him the $40 million if you're Baltimore or if you're Cleveland?
If you're Cleveland.
Right, with Cleveland or Baltimore, would you say, you know what, I much rather have Dak because I think he's a little bit more
Lamar.
Special. Yeah, instead of Lamar.
So, and we're going to leave it here and we'll get to Mike Tannenbaum later and we'll bring it back up. But you're telling me this is not a crazy question. What I just asked is not like, are you insane? He's an MVP. Of course you pay him. You're telling me that's a question that's not going to be an easy one to answer in Baltimore in their front office when this season's over.
It's not. And especially what the demands of what his agent is going to want. And when they look at the conversation,
well, his agent's his mother, so it's...
right. So she's saying, "My baby's up next." Like, what do you mean?
If
Watson got this, then our floor should be Watson. I say no, because Watson is able. He's a much better quarterback than Lamar Jackson.
Would be Deshaun until this year has had way better weapons.
I understand that. But, Lamar Jackson has the better running backs and he had the better offensive line. Mm-hmm. Remember, when I talk Yonda Stanley Brown, that's arguably...
I agree.
Those are three Pro Bowlers at line. So, although, Lamar had more protection and Lamar had more skill positions, they both had equally impactful position players on the offensive side of the ball. Lamar Jackson's just were on the offensive line and Deshaun Watson's were... in the skill positions.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's pick this back up when Tannenbaum joins us at the bottom of the hour. But right now, let's get to audio files.
The audio file.
All right. So let's stay on football here. All right. I'm going to call a little audible here, Anthony, and we're going to stay with football. So as I mentioned, the Ravens Steelers game was played on Wednesday afternoon after it was supposed to be Thanksgiving evening, all because of COVID outbreaks where every day there was a positive test. It just continued throughout. They finally got to play this game. Both teams, though, you could just see it was sloppy. There wasn't a lot of practice time. And, of course, it wasn't full rosters at all. There were injuries on both sides of the football. They played the game. They got through it. It was not great. RG3 was the starting quarterback. And, boy, he's talking like a leader. And he spoke about how COVID-19 doesn't just affect the players.
This isn't just about football. This is about guys' families. This is about their wives and their children and anybody else that is in close contact with them at home. So when we get a call saying that one of our players is positive, a billion things run through your mind. You know, it's not whether you're going to be able to play or whether you test positive. It's a matter of, is this going to affect my family? And I think that's where the concern was. We're football players and everyone looks at us a little bit differently. And they just tell you, go be a football player. But at the end of the day, we have families, we have people that we love and we don't want to get them sick. And a lot of our players who have tested positive, their family members have also tested positive. And those things don't get reported.
I mean, I feel them, right? You understand, like for guys that are playing, and we got to play the game.
Right.
And you're like, whoa, we've got guys testing positive left and right. I'm going back home now to my family. Like, I'm almost afraid to go home because I don't know how I'm exposed.
Right.
But we're like, no, you got to play the game.
You're isolated. You're worried about what if your wife gets it, what if your girlfriend gets it, your significant other, your children get it.
Parents.
And you're worried about them and how they're feeling. And, that you're going to get the best medical, care, and people are going to be monitoring you and seeing you. But what about them? And that's what goes unreported. And the fact that, when your teammate does it, you're like, I hope I don't have it. So then you naturally have to isolate not just from them but from your family. And eventually you got to set up things for your family to get tested as well. And that can weigh mentally heavy on somebody's heart. Because you talk about a guy like Andrews, you talk about a guy like James Conner. James Conner is a cancer survivor, and Mark Andrews is diabetic. So, like, it sometimes gets bigger than that. I wish the NFL would have pushed it back because now it gets crazy because now they got to play again on Tuesday. And it's weird.
And like, these games mean something. Yeah. These games matter for the Ravens.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys also probably have about 14 days off.
Good point.
They played Thanksgiving. It's already been a week. By the time they play again, it's almost be 2 weeks.
Yes.
So it's no excuses for them. They should be overly prepared. And you think about the Steelers. The Steelers had no reason to look sloppy. They had more time to prepare before they found out their COVID outbreak. They were having practices, so they should have been fine. They should have looked like new money.
No, they didn't. But that's neither here nor there as the season goes on. Meanwhile, the NBA season will begin December 22nd, doubleheader. And it's being reported that, that opening night, actually, I think the league already announced that the opening night will be the Nets will host the Warriors. How you like that? The Nets will host the Warriors, so you'll have KD against his former team, and KD making his return. And then the Lakers and the Clippers, as the Lakers raise their banner, and they make the Clippers watch it.
Right.
How do you
great.
Like that? Yeah, sit there and watch it. You know what that's referencing. You guys, sit there and watch it as I put this banner up in your house.
That's
in your house, too. We share this house. I'm putting this banner up here. So, LeBron James, as we said yesterday, signed a two-year extension at the max at 85, so he stays with the Lakers beyond next year. He would have an option. But then now, Anthony Davis, today, as reported by Woj, a five-year, $190 million max extension, so he will stay with the Lakers for the foreseeable future. So the two of them together again, and LeBron James on the Road Tripping podcast. Oh, did he talk repeat? Did he talk repeat?
Yes, he did.
We can. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, we absolutely can. First of all, it all starts with health. You have to have some luck. You have to have health. If we can stay healthy, but we did get younger. We grabbed the 27-year-old point guard. We got the 27-year-old sixth man of the year, Warren Trez. We got younger.
With Mark.
You know, we got Mark, who's a defensive player of the year, and his IQ.
I mean, do we have to, Marc Gasol is 150 years old.
And he moves like it. Yeah, he's a fat, skinny man. And now he's slower. Now he's skinny. Then he was fat because now he's skinny and old, opposed to being young and fat when he was moving like Big Country Reeves.
Well, still, bottom line is, though, that they have all the reason to think they can repeat. Now, on the other side of things, you have the Clippers. And the Clippers thought that they were going to give the Lakers all kinds of trouble. They didn't. And after they were embarrassed by the Nuggets, who, by the way, they will play on Christmas night. Again, the NBA has a good sense of humor.
Right.
They will face the Nuggets on Christmas night after facing the Lakers and watching the banner go up. Oh, you want to piss a team off? That's how you do it. Mm. Paul George was on the All the Smoke podcast, and he talked about what happened with the Nuggets. They had a whole new thing, all new coaching staff. That was blown out. They lost Trez, as you saw. Things have changed with that team. But PG reflects on that loss to the Nuggets in the bubble. And listen to who he scapegoats here.
It was tough because, we was confident. We felt like, we went up 3-1. We felt like, we going to win the next one. We lost. We like, cool, we up 3-2. Okay. We going to win the next one. We lost. But during that whole process, like, we never worked on adjustments. We never worked on what to do differently. We just literally having the same happen over and over again. So it started to play a trick on you. Like, man, like, what's going on? Like, you know what I mean? We talking amongst each other. Like, the conversations is like, nah, we going to be all right. The conversation should have been like, nah, we need to change this. Yeah, we need to switch this up. Like, at the end of the day, I don't think we deserved it. We wasn't prepared enough going into it.
Oh, those are some keys. Yeah. Did he hear the keywords?
Yeah, hit all of them.
Adjustments.
And I was kind of
saying
that.
Change. Prepared.
Who is
he talking about, Bart?
He talking about Austin's dad. Talking about your daddy, boy.
Talking about
your daddy. Exactly. And that's what I felt. I felt like, man, how often are y'all going to get caught in this damn pick and roll? And it's the same thing. The same thing that you guys struggle with against Dallas. I'm like, bruh. Like, so Doc was just saying, just do what we do better. But it was like easy offense for them once they got, whether it was Sweet Lou or whether it was Earl, whoever they said, where's the fish? They were just finding the fish every time and getting exactly what they wanted, and they were getting easy offense. And we're trying to go down. They were trying to go down with the Clippers and jack up miracle shots, and they were cold. They couldn't get easy offense, and that goes and falls square on the feet. Ooh. But I don't like that he threw him under the bus like that because he didn't play well. Like pandemic P didn't play well at all.
Paul George was miserable the whole time.
Kawhi can say that because Kawhi played well. His numbers, he put up offensive and defensive, was crazy. But Pandemic P, got to keep your mouth shut.
My problem with the Clippers is exactly that, is that you have Paul George, a bit of a flake, who's a talent, and you got Kawhi, who's a quiet guy who's not going to really say anything. He's not going to ruffle feathers. He's just going to play hard, and he expects you to just follow that lead. They had no leadership, none. And they were looking to the coaching staff saying, you're supposed to be doing this. And Doc's probably like, you're a freaking star. Just be better than the other guy.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need me to tell you?
You're supposed to be great defensive players. Shut them down.
So talent got outcoached. And that's basically what Paul George is saying. So let's see what they look like this year. All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, J-Dub. Great job, Bart, as always. I need, before we go, to take one quick call here. Quick call. Emma in Flushing. Got to talk to Emma.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Emmanuel. Oh, sorry. It looks like Emma on my screen because it's like half the screen.
Oh, okay.
Emmanuel, my bad, man. Sorry. What's up?
It's not my fault. I actually put your speaker on hold. I actually put on speaker by mistake. Anyway, one of the first callers brought up tanking. Let me just say this. I am done of tanking. I'm going to put on the Omar rant, man. I am done of tanking because we tried to tank in 15, 17, 19, and damn it, we failed. I mean, at some point, you got to start winning games. That's why y'all brought Thibodeau there. He wants to win games. I don't care if some Knicks fans would be upset. Listen, I'm listening. I want to win, man. Let's win some games for God's sake, because that's when free agents will come to play. I mean, playoffs or not, at the end of the day, I just want to prove it, man. I just want these players to win. I appreciate that Thibodeau brought it up. You know, at some point, you got to earn your spot, because if you don't earn your spot, it feels like you don't want that. That means you're not ready to win. Because I commend what Weber has said and about him about, you know, want to come here, because I like you, Han. I want guys like Donovan Mitchell, Russell Westbrook to say that. But I'm happy that Weber said that, because remember his father was there. He understands what it was like to be a winner in New York, even though it was a short time.
Yeah, but Doc always stayed connected to New York. And Emmanuel, thanks for the call. And I just, like, to me, again, I think for a lot of fans who want to talk about, you know, oh, we've got to just, you know, tank for another high draft pick and all that stuff, understand the league is not going to work with you like that. Like, it's just that stuff's out. So yeah, it's just, you have to, you just got to understand, Thibodeau is not here to lose. He's going to coach this team hard. Now, they're going to be as good as their talent, so don't have high expectations. But my point is that if you're thinking that this is going to be a, you know, Kevin Knox is going to play 45 minutes a night, even though he's 1-for-15 and he looks distracted on defense, that's out. That's over. This is going to be a competition for minutes, and some young guys who don't show up and aren't ready to compete, they're going to sit on the bench. That's where this team is right now. Let's get the Mike Tannenbaum report, brought to you by Fidelis Care. Mike joins us right now. Great to have you on. Been a while since we've had a chance to talk, and I know Bart's always excited to have you on too. And I asked this question of Bart, and he didn't jump all over me, so it seems to me like it's a logical question. So I'm going to ask you, with your GM hat on, with your front office hat on, this is the offseason now, when we get to it, of the 2018 quarterback draft, where we decide who should get an extension. You got Baker, you got Sam, obviously Josh Allen. Take Josh Rosen out of the equation and Lamar Jackson. Lamar's an MVP, and I feel like if I'm in Baltimore, that's not an easy decision when you consider what Mahomes and Watson set the bar at. Am I right or wrong on this?
Well, good to be with you guys. I would definitely exercise the fifth-year option on Lamar. Look, things haven't been perfect. We know there's been some bumps in the road, but the guy's been an MVP, and there's a great expression, and it really applies to Bart as well, which is the tape sets the floor and the character sets the ceiling. Nobody outworked Bart to get to where he was, and no one's really outworking Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson has a huge, huge ceiling, and you have to understand that all those teams in the AFC North, this offseason guys, all they did is, what can we do to stop Lamar? And if we're going to lose to him, it's the old Bill Belichick line. We're going to make him beat us left-handed. And what we're seeing right now is a lot more zone, and here's why. When you have 22 eyes on Lamar, it's a lot easier to contain the run than when you play man-to-man, because when you play man-to-man and you turn your back to the line of scrimmage, he could take off and gas you.
All right, so you said you'd pick up the option. I think that part's obvious. I'm talking about, like, it's time to, you can long-term extend him and lock him in. And I don't know if, you know, you can start doing that after this season, correct?
You sure can. And look,
I would hesitate.
It's going to be in the details. And, you know, we saw Deshaun Watson sign a big deal, but that was shorter. My bigger concern as it relates to Lamar is going to be durability. Is he built to last? You know, when you look at guys like Cam Newton, Patrick Mahomes, they're bigger guys. And Lamar, to me, like, I would just be concerned about that. But I would sign him to an extension because he puts so much pressure on a defense. And I know things haven't been perfect, Allen, but I still think he's part of the solution long term.
This is the only thing I worry about him, Uncle TP. And first of all, thanks for the X2. I was kind of weird. I thought Kawhi Leonard actually sent me an energy drink. But I appreciate it. It actually came from you. I was like, man, Kawhi, I feel special. But I feel even more special that it came from you. You know, my concern with Lamar and my concern with, you know, if he picks up the option, how much money you take or how much money he takes, maybe $35-45 million, is what are they surrounding him with, right? Because I feel like you talk about Josh Allen, the one that we would all agree, and you talk about Baker Mayfield, those teams did made a concerted effort to get him what he needed to be successful. Now, I appreciate that they locked down Ronnie Stanley. I think they're going to eventually lose Orlando Brown Jr. Because they won't be able to pay him. They lost Marshall Yanda. But Hollywood Brown, Dez Bryant, I mean, his best weapon is Mark Andrews, who's a tight end, who's a much easier to take away than an outstanding receiver. So what would be the plan to try and surround him with some real weapons around him if you're going to go all in? And if you're going to do that, do you delay potentially his signing, you know, his mega deal, so that you can maybe front load a couple of receivers that's going to be available next year and tell him, we're going to pay you all your money, but we got to front load some of these other guys before to try and get you some talent?
Yeah, you know, Allen, the last time that Bart thanked me like this was when he signed a massive contract, one from Baltimore to the Jets. So hopefully X2 and X2 performance does quite as well. And it is a great, all-natural, healthy drink. So, Bart, I appreciate the plug. But as it relates to the Baltimore team building here, you bring up a great point, which is, you know, windows close, you know, and you can go back to Seattle and look at what Seattle was able to surround Russell Wilson with yes. on his rookie contract, Cliff Averill, Beast Mode, Cam Chancellor, and over Bennett, time, as Russ made more, those guys graduated. So I think you're making a great point. With that said, I still think you got to go get him a frontliner. So I would go after Will Fuller. Will Fuller's from the Philadelphia area.
He can't stay healthy, though. That's my only issue with Will Fuller. He's always hurt. He's like a nice Ferrari. The engine light's always on. It looks beautiful, though. But it's the check engine light's always on. Would you go maybe Galladay or maybe Allen Robinson?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Al and I talk about, like, Ford and Chevys. You know, you're the one that could afford the Ferrari discussion.
I wouldn't know. I didn't know they had an engine light, to be honest with you. I thought they just text you, your car needs service.
But in all seriousness, that's a fair point, Bart. But Will Fuller scores touchdowns. I love Galladay because of his size. You know, Allen Robinson's a productive receiver. I just don't know if he's, you know, a frontline number one guy. But I think your point's well taken. But I think there's something much more fundamental when you look at Baltimore, putting contracts aside. And they've done such a good job for a long time. But they lost I would put Yonder in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he
and
is.
Ronnie Stanley's a really good left tackle. When you lose 40% of your line due to injury and retirement, you don't replace those players overnight. So it could be Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson. I don't care who's back there for Baltimore. It's going to be hard. And look, you know, Pittsburgh's going to do this to a lot of teams, but clearly, you know, that Pittsburgh front seven gave, you know, McSorley and RG3 all they could handle yesterday.
Yeah. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on the show. So, all right, so Rich Cimini has a story that just came up, and this has been a thing all year with Adam Gase. A lot of Jets fans are just kind of waiting for Black Monday, unfortunately. That's where we're at now as a fan base. You wait for bad things to happen just to see if the franchise will move on from Adam. But Adam has some interesting quotes here, and I want to get your take on these regarding Sam Darnold. And asking about like the times he has spent with him. He was hired essentially to make Sam Darnold great, right? A number three overall quarterback, as we're talking about that draft class. You want to take this guy, he fell in your lap, and turn him into a great quarterback. That by now we're talking about this guy, not just a Pro Bowler, but a guy leading you to winning, which I think is what Josh Allen's doing right now in Buffalo. So the quote that really stood out to me is he said, I came here to help him develop his career, and we haven't been able to do that. He was also saying how he really doesn't have a crystal ball on whether or not Sam's going to become a good quarterback. Those are concerning quotes for me, coming from Adam. And it feels like almost a resignation from him, too, that this has been a failure.
Well, look, the reality, two things. One is he was brought in, they were hoping to pair Adam Gase and Sam Darnold, and obviously Adam had a lot of success with Peyton Manning earlier in his career. We actually had success in Miami when Ryan Tannehill was healthy, went to the playoffs and won 10 games. But with that said, look, when you're sitting there 0-11, like, you know what's coming. That's just the reality. Everybody in the building does. The fan base knows. It's not if, but when. That's just the unfortunate reality of the situation. So I think I was just trying to be pragmatic there. But, you know, Sam Darnold's a complicated evaluation because it's hard to say what three or four games you can look at as a pro player to say, hey, we could hang our hat on this. You can certainly do that with Carson Wentz, who's struggling now. You certainly could do that with Lamar Jackson. You could at least say, hey, there's really good, consistent tape. Even with Daniel Jones, who has, you know, such proclivities of putting the ball on the ground, he's put really good tape consistently this year despite some of those turnovers. And I think Sam Darnold's going to be maybe a Colt next year. I mean, there's a number of teams that are going to be looking for a quarterback. I just think if the Jets, and still a big if they want it with the first pick, I think it would just be inconceivable to me that they wouldn't take Trevor Lawrence and move on from Sam Darnold.
All right, so let me ask you. So I also, you mentioned the Colts. That's a very interesting one. I mentioned Chicago. What about the Bears also? You think they'd have interest?
I think there's going to be a half a dozen teams. Like, when you think about guys, not just next year, but in the next 2 years, you're talking about teams like Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, Atlanta, New Orleans Saints. You mentioned Chicago. You maybe even put Detroit into that conversation. I already mentioned Indianapolis. So there's probably going to be at least 25% of the league that's going to be looking for a quarterback over the next 2 years. And you say to yourself, you go back to the USC tape and say, all right, what can I do here with Sam Darnold to put him in a position to be successful? And for me, and Bart, I know you're aligned on this, it starts with the offensive line. You got to get the offensive line right to give him a foundation to build off of.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at him, I just it's hard to evaluate because you look at the weapons that he's been throwing to as well. You look at, you know, Baker and you look at Josh Allen. They have, you know, number one receivers to throw to. I think this is the best set of receivers that he's had, and he had them around for maybe two games. But then the offensive line consistently gets beat up the A-gaps. I would think that, you know, a guy that the Jets would target would maybe be Orlando Brown Jr., because if you pair him with Mekhi Becton in the next couple of years, because he's going to be up in 2 years, and because they pay Stanley, he's going to be available in the next couple of years. So you think about building that offensive line. If you can go get a guy like Tunney from the Patriots, and that adds a tremendous guard there, then Orlando Brown can be the finishing pieces, much like you built that offensive line by bringing in Damon Woody 1 year, then bringing in Alan Faneca, drafting, you know, DeBrickashaw and Nick Mangold. Now you have a young core where you don't have to worry about Becton and making him the highest paid left tackle in the business for 5 years. You get Orlando Brown, you know, his third year. Now you have something solid. So now when you put somebody back there, now you can evaluate them because they can have time to actually go through the progressions. You know, but with that being said, I would want to ask you, what would you think with all those teams that see that Sam has value? What would you think his value is? Is it a second round draft pick? Should you be trying to ship him to Jacksonville for maybe that draft pick that they're going to get from Minnesota for Yannick, or their number two draft pick? Or do you think Sam is something like Jimmy G, where they teams may want to hold on to him and give you a fourth round draft pick?
Yeah, I think it too really makes sense. I think that's precedent. You look recently at the trade where Josh Rosen went from Arizona to Miami, you know, former top 10 pick, didn't work out in Arizona and goes on to Miami for a two. I think that's, you know, and it, look, if you're the Jets, obviously you want that to be as high a two as possible. So if I'm a team like Jacksonville and I could get, you know, either Justin Fields or Trey Lance with my first number one pick, and then maybe also trade for Sam Darnold, now I've dramatically improved my depth there. That's something I would consider. I think when you're trying to improve a weakness that you have, you want to attack it not only in free agency but the draft. So I think that's something that could make sense for a team like Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'd take it too. I mean, I didn't think that even be possible. I mean, I thought for sure. I guess it's based on, though, Mike, wouldn't you say that it also is based on what these next 5 weeks are going to look like with him?
Yeah, he's auditioning. You know, and really, and I talked about this yesterday on SportsCenter, but, you know, RG3 had a massive opportunity yesterday to really change his career. The guy's 30 years old, started 41 games, and, you know, if he had played well, you know, teams would have looked at him differently. And if I'm Sam Darnold, you know, these 5 weeks are consequential in my career. I want everyone to see, like, what I could do. Again, he hasn't flashed consistently over a number of weeks as a pro player. And while I would give up a pick for him, I wouldn't just give him, you know, the keys and say, hey, we got our guy for the next 10 years. Like, he's going to have to prove it to a certain extent.
All right, last thing we want to talk to you about, and thanks again for joining us here, involves on the other side now, the NFC East. And you mentioned Daniel Jones and another young quarterback, but I'm just looking at that division in general. This year, to me, there's good stories in whether Washington wins it or the Giants come back and win it, or, you know, the Eagles hold on to Dallas, do something. I don't really care right now about this division, who wins it this year. What I'm asking you is about the future of this division. And when you look at all of these teams, you look at Philly and their cap situation, you look at Dallas and, you know, the Dak question and how they're built and do they have the right coach? You got Washington and you got the Giants. Who would you figure out of those teams has the best future right now when you look at this, when you look at that division?
To me, it's Dallas because I'm a huge Dak Prescott fan. And I think really, I know he's not going to win it, but you can make an argument that based on how they play, he should be in the MVP consideration because look what happened. It's been chaos
without him.
He's still leading the team in passing yards. He hasn't played in, what, 8 weeks?
He hasn't played in a month, yeah.
And I think Dak has, and Bart's been around some of the greatest leaders in our sport, and Bart was a great leader himself. Dak has attributes you can't see, and that's how you have sustainability in a cap system where you don't have to pay everybody perfectly because the quarterback's going to get so much of the pie. And that's what Dak does. So Daniel Jones has exceeded my expectations. I didn't think he'd play this well. And clearly, you know, Washington has a massive question mark there. Mm-hmm. So does Philadelphia. So if I had to just crystal ball it today, Alan, to answer your question, over the next 5 years, I'm taking Dallas because I just think Dak is that special.
You know what? I'm glad you said that. I know you got to go. I'm glad you said that about Washington because, I mean, Alex Smith still has a high cap number because of his deal. Haskins, and now you can get rid of first round draft picks easily. So would maybe Washington be a team that you can see maybe making a move for a Sam Darnold or doing something like that? Because you look at them, they have a great defense. They have a solid line. They have building blocks. They have a top receiver. Would you see them making a move? Because they're going to get a lot of money back in their pockets, and they can let Kerrigan go because Montez Sweat is ready to take the next step, and you already have him paired with Chase Young. So you can take a lot of money off the books in Washington and have a lot of equity and just give up a second-round draft pick and still not have to pay Sam Darnold.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea, Bart. I think that's a massive opportunity for somebody because they don't have a quarterback. What was interesting to me when Kyle Allen was healthy, Alex Smith was healthy, if you look at Ron Rivera's words carefully, I thought this was fascinating, guys. Early in the season, he's like, I'm going with Dwayne Haskins. I developed Cam Newton. There are going to be bumps in the road. No problem. A couple weeks later, he doesn't bench him. He makes him the third string. Mm-hmm. And to me, that talks about there's some other intangible that isn't sitting well with Coach Rivera, with Dwayne Haskins. So he didn't draft him. And when you're inherited, it's a different paradigm, whether that's fair or unfair. And that's why I think, you know, they'll be looking for a quarterback as well. And, you know, maybe that's another place for Sam Darnold, like you mentioned, Bart.
It's very damning when you think that the more I get to know you, the less I believe in you. That's usually pretty damning for a player at that point. Mike, great to talk to you as always. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for the pre-workout, too, man. Had me jacked up for my workout. I didn't have to go. I'd have to go on that caffeine-filled stuff and give me a headache afterwards.
That's right. Hey, it's good stuff. No crash, no jitter, so I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
We'll just play music all damn day and not even talk about sports.
Reminds me of, like, New York Undercover.
Yes. That was a great show. Great soundtrack,
great
too.
Great music.
I guess, like, we've got to get to a point where we just put ones and twos in the studio, and, like, as you're talking, I'm just going to start bumping. Like, we'll just start, like, you know. You remember this song?
I got a stink bug in here.
Well, don't crush it, because then you know what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to flush them down the toilet.
That's what you do. Go ahead. You want to go handle that? I got to reach.
No, it's all good. I'll just let them suffer.
Watch them lay there.
I just hold them cracked there. It's all good.
No, you don't just, because you know what happened. Yeah, that stink.
It's crazy, because they say stink bugs, but I never smell them stink. Because I never squashed them.
Did you ever squash them?
Nah.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Do they really stink? You did it? Did you try?
I've never done it. I just know that.
You know what? I don't know.
Is that a myth or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to see. We knew that we could have the whole Mythbusters show every week.
We should have Mythbusters do it, like, and then you can see, and then compare it to, like, other really bad odors, like, you know, when a skunk sprays you.
But then they'll have to get, like, a whole collection of them, like a whole pit.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Get a whole pit of them.
I could do that.
And then just step on them. You have to step on them in like a...
We do that outside somewhere. See, again, this is the dangerous thing. When you and I are allowed to, you know, play together, which we've never been able to do, we're always forced to, like, stay in separate
phrasing.
Places. We've been separated from birth, literally.
Exactly.
Like, when we're allowed to be in the same...
My brother, my butt.
You know, sandbox. Dude, the stuff we're going to do...
Come up with.
I mean, come on, though. especially social media wise. I mean, hysterical. I don't have TikTok, but I think we might have to do TikTok.
I put him in. I put him in a.
He's drowning now in the.
No, there's nothing in there.
I'm 40.
I wouldn't let him waste my good sun kiss.
Or is that the X2?
X2. Yeah, I'm trying to get. You see, I was trying to get endorsement.
I was. Oh,
I really was hyped.
I
thought Kawhi had actually sent me. So I see it from Kawhi.
I remember
Leonard.
That.
I'm like, what the hell, Kawhi?
Hey, video chatting with the family this holiday season. We've got the perfect guest for everyone's virtual gathering. New York Jets quarterback. Sam Darnold, it's 98.7 ESPN. Sam and the Fam Sweepstakes, here's how you win. Send us a brief message telling us why Sam should hang with your fam for a 30-minute virtual huddle. Send that message to us at 98.7ESPN@gmail.com. That's 98.7ESPN@gmail.com. Winners will each get a one-of-a-kind experience with friends and family to have a virtual hangout with Sam Darnold. It's from your home for the hookup and home for the hangout. 98.7 ESPN. All right, we got 10 seconds left. This was a hell of a show, man. And we got to do it even better tomorrow on a Football Friday. You ready?
I'm ready.
You know what I can't wait for?
What's that?
Tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.